Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Judges chapter 6. Today we're kind of jumping back into our series titled The Bible, A True Story, a series that's taking us kind of through the Bible, not chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but just kind of a general walk through the Bible to kind of help us understand and know who God is and who He created us to be. And so we're jumping back in that today. We took a little break from our series last week as my wife actually came up here and shared. Stacy spoke last week. She shared an amazing word on how to move forward when you find yourself stuck. And it was a powerful word. If you missed it, I would encourage you to go to listen to it online, because she really did an amazing job. And the thing is my wife, she's an amazing communicator. She doesn't like to be up here. She doesn't like to be in front of people, but she is an amazing communicator. And she really puts thought into her words, and they're very impactful. And so I would encourage you, if you didn't get a chance, to go listen to it online. Now, today, as we dive back into our series, we're once again continuing in the book of Judges. We spent the last several weeks that I've been speaking, when I've spoke in this book, and I want to just kind of give you a little refresher of where we are this morning here in Judges. You may remember that the book of Judges starts off by kind of telling us about all the regions and areas throughout Canaan, throughout the Promised Land, where the Israelites actually failed to do what Joshua told them to do before he passed away. They were supposed to drive out all of the people. They were supposed to drive out all the enemy that had previously occupied this territory. And because they failed to follow this command, the Israelites found themselves beginning to live the same immoral, corrupt lives of their enemies. And so this sin and this disobedience of the Israelites led to them falling from the Lord, and it created this vicious cycle that we continue to see, that we've talked about through the book of Judges, where it starts by them turning from God, turning their back on God, entering into sin, which leads them to God then stepping back. Okay, if you don't want to follow me, I'm going to step back. And it leads to them being oppressed by the countries around them, which then, after a period of time, finally leads to them frustrated and crying out to God and coming to a place of repentance, which then God shows them grace and delivers them, which leads to a time of peace, until once again they start to forget about God and begin to sin again and head right back into that vicious cycle over and over. And it's in these times of repentance, in this cycle of them crying out to God, that He raises up these judges. Why the book is called Judges. He raises up these judges to deliver them and bring victory to the people of Israel. Now, as I mentioned, these judges are not judges as we know them. They're not generally courtroom judges. There were some that acted in that way, but most of these judges were more like political or military type leaders that led the nation of Israel in these times. And God uses these leaders to deliver the people of Israel. And the truth is, God often chose the least likely people to be these judges. When I last spoke, we talked about three of those judges, Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar, three unlikely men who God used to defeat Israel and their oppressors. And if you were to read chapter 4 and 5, because we read chapter 3 last, but if you were to read chapters 4 and 5, we would read about Deborah, Barak, and Jael. Two were women, Deborah and Jael, and Barak was this wimpy military leader, okay? And you see, in this day and age, a woman would have never been expected to do anything of significance. Because back then, women were really considered nothing. They were treated more like property back in this time. But God saw value in these women that He created. And He saw value in this wimpy military leader who lacked courage. And He used them to bring deliverance and victory to the people of Israel. It's a continual underlying story found throughout the book of Judges where God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Where God uses less than expected, at least by cultural standards, less than expected to do far more than you could ever hope or imagine. And this is what we're going to see from the next judge, Gideon, who's found here in chapter 6. Now, if you're familiar with the story of Gideon, you know that he wasn't necessarily a man of great faith, right? He definitely had some fears and doubts. We'll see later when we actually get into the scripture, which we'll get into shortly, that the Lord sends an angel to Gideon and tells him, I'm calling you to go and save Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. Now, let me kind of paint a picture for you of what happens. This angel appears to Gideon. Now, how many of us have ever had an actual angel appear right before us and speak to us? I don't know. Maybe you have. I never have, okay? To have this angel come and appear. But that's what happens here. This angel appears to Gideon. He tells him what he needs to do. And the thing is, God made it very clear that it was Him sending this angel to Gideon. And so what does Gideon do? He says, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but can you please just give me a sign? Just so I can know for sure. And it's kind of funny because as if the angel wasn't a sign itself, right? I mean, how many of you, if an angel stands before you, be like, yeah, God, can you give me a sign though? You know, I mean, I got this big massive angel standing in front of me telling me what to do, but can you just give me a sign? I mean, it's like this sign wasn't enough. And so later, after Gideon kind of does what the angel did to start with, he brings the sacrifice to the Lord. And as he brings the sacrifice to the Lord, an amazing thing happens. The angel touches this sacrifice with his staff. And up from the rocks of the altar, this fire appears from nowhere and completely, like that, just consumes the entire sacrifice. It's much like something we're going to get to a little later where Elijah calls fire down and the fire comes and just burns up everything. So this fire just out of nowhere just appears and burns everything up. And so Gideon receives his sign and he admits that I am in the presence of the Lord. And so then if you read on, he does some things there in the city that the Lord tells him to do. But as things start to get real for Gideon, and as he realized that he's about to take an army of people into battle, he once again starts to become a little fearful and begins to doubt. And so, again, we see him asking God for another sign. God, I know you've done these things, but can you do another sign for me? And this is the well-known story that many of us know of Gideon, where he puts out a fleece. We've heard that, putting out a fleece before the Lord. It comes from this story of Gideon. And he said to God, hey, I'm going to put out this fleece. I'm going to put it out on the ground. And if in the morning the fleece is completely wet, but the ground all around it is dry, then I will know that it's you. And so God makes the fleece completely wet. The ground all around it is dry. He goes out, it's dry. He picks up the fleece, he wrings it into a bowl of water. I mean, it's soaked. Everything else is dry. And so he receives his sign. But if you read, he goes, God, don't be angry with me. but can you show me one more sign just to make sure, right? I have just one more request. And he says, can you do the opposite? Okay, because maybe that's just what happens. Maybe you put a fleece out and it just gets wet. I don't know what he was thinking. But he goes, can you make this time make the ground all around wet, but the fleece dry? And so one more time he puts it out and God does it. God shows him again that he really is him. And you see, this is why I say that Gideon wasn't necessarily a man of great faith, because we see his fears and his doubts continue to shine through. He didn't need just one sign to trust in God. He needed three signs, and really you could say four if you count the angel himself as a sign. But despite Gideon's struggle to trust in God, God still planned to use him to deliver the people of Israel. And the cool thing is God didn't even need the whole army of Israel to do it. If you know the story, in the story of Gideon's victory, God purposely had Gideon whittle down his army. And it really goes back to what I talked about a few weeks ago, where God wants to make sure that we realize that it's Him that brings the victory and not us, ourselves. That it was God and not this massive army of Israel. And so they started with 32,000 men. There were 32,000 men that came to fight for Israel. But God said that's too many. And so Gideon said to them, if any of you are afraid, if any of you have any fear at all, I release you to go home right now. You don't have to fight. Right? These are military men. They're not going to be afraid, right? 22,000 men left. What? Okay, I don't want to fight. I'm good. I'm out of here, you know? 22,000 men left and went back home. And so now they're left with 10,000. But God told Gideon that's still too many. He said, you need to whittle it down more. And so he said, do this. Have them go get a drink. And we'll separate them by how they drink. And so if you know how the story goes, they go and drink. And so there's some that get down and they scoop up the water with their hand and sip it up. And he puts them to one side. And then there are some that go down and just on all fours, they're just like a dog licking up with their tongue. And they put them on the other side. And it said that out of the 10,000, 9,700 men lapped up the water like a dog. And God told Gideon to send them home, which left him with 300 men. He starts with 32,000. And God says, nope, that's good. I'll just take those 300 men, take them to go and fight the Midianites. Now, the interesting thing is, Gideon starts to doubt again, right? And he starts to worry. And so God, in His graciousness, ends up encouraging Gideon and tells him, go down there, listen to what they're saying. And he does this. And so once again, basically, God gives him another sign. And finally, after this fifth sign, Gideon and his army of 300 men, they go and they defeat the Midianites and they bring victory to the people of Israel. It's another amazing story of how God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. How God uses little to accomplish much. And the big question I want to look at this morning is, how does God change us from fearful doubters to mighty warriors of victory? And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Judges 6, verses 11 through 17. This is what it says. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why are all His wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replies, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me." And we're going to stop there this morning, as I've already pretty much laid out what happens here with Gideon. But in this section of Scripture, I think we find some answers to that question that I posed earlier. How does God change us from fearful doubters to mighty warriors of victory? And I think the first answer is this: by helping us see beyond ourselves. In verse 12, the angel says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Then in verse 14, he says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel." He's telling Gideon, "You are a mighty warrior who has great strength." But in verse 15, Gideon responds by saying, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And so the question I have here is the angel lying to him? Is God lying to Gideon? No. Because God sees things in us that we can't see. He sees beyond the fears. He sees beyond the doubts. He sees that He is the one who created us. And God is wanting Gideon to see that for himself, to see beyond himself, to see God in him. You see, God knew what Gideon could do with what He had given him. He also knew that Gideon was a man of God. And even though he had fears, even though he doubted, he truly believed that God knew he would stay true to him, that he would ultimately honor God, which is why he could call him a mighty warrior. When I was preparing this, I thought a lot about David. Because we hear that David, a man after God's own heart. But yet you look at David and you see that David was an adulterer. David committed murder. David did these things. Is that God's heart? No. Yes, he did these things, but that's not who he really was. He was a man after God's own heart, and he corrected those things. He gave those things to the Lord, and he turned his heart back to the Lord because he was seeking the Lord. And so we see, he's telling Gideon, yeah, you may be fearful, you may be doubtful, but you are a mighty warrior. And even though he continued to ask for signs, I believe that Gideon recognized that these signs were from God, because he loved the Lord and he sought the Lord. Something that I believe is important for all of us is that we're able to recognize the difference between the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy, or the voice of the world. Because the enemy and the world loves to remind us how weak we are. The enemy loves to remind us that we're small and we're ineffective. The enemy also loves to remind us of our past, loves to remind us of our failures, and loves to create this expectation of failure in the future. Well, you failed back then, you're going to fail again. And those things that the enemy speaks to us often encourages our doubts and our fears. But you see, the voice of the Lord reminds us that we are His creation, that He created us. It reminds us that we may have doubts and fears, but through Him, through the power of Jesus in our life, we are mighty warriors. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? He reminds us that where we are weak, He is made strong. And He reminds us that our victory isn't based on our strength or our abilities, but on the strength and abilities of the One who has chosen us. The voice of the Lord says, "I choose you, and you are enough." I don't think we hear that voice enough. I choose you. Do you hear that? That's not me speaking to you this morning. That's the Lord speaking to every single one of you here. I choose you, and you are enough. We have to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord as He speaks to our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. We may not experience an angel standing in front of us like Gideon did. But the truth is, we actually have something better. We have the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And He wants us to see beyond ourselves, beyond our capabilities. And I don't believe it's just our areas of weakness. But I think it's also the reverse. It's the areas of pride, where we might be tempted to think that we're mighty warriors on our own. Like, I can do this. I don't need God. I can take care of this. Those areas of pride as well. If we start heading down that path of pride, we better beware. Because it's not the enemy we have to worry about. God will humble us and help us see that without Him, we're nothing. It's only through Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are mighty warriors. So whether we think too little of ourselves or whether we think too much, God wants to make us mighty warriors. And that can only happen when we begin to see beyond ourselves and realize it's His power that's at work in all of us. And so God changes us from fearful doubters to mighty warriors of victory by helping us see beyond ourselves. And then secondly, He does it by helping us see beyond our circumstances. In verse 13, Gideon asks the angel a question. He says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Now, I'm guessing that most of us have found ourselves in discouraging or difficult situations at times in our life. Am I right? We've all gone through those tough and challenging times. And I'm guessing that many of us have asked this same question to the Lord. God, if You're really with us, then why is all this bad stuff happening? Can't You do anything about it? Don't You care? I thought You were good all the time, and all the time You were good. At least that's what our pastor forces us to say, right? If that's true, then why am I going through what I'm going through? It doesn't feel very good at the moment. The thing is, when we're going through difficult times, we often focus on the problems. But as we learned in our men's study this last week, instead of focusing on our problems, we need to focus on the problem solver, the one that helps us through the problems. In verse 16 it says, "I will be with you." That simple truth changes everything. It changes everything. You see, God doesn't promise to pull us out of every difficult situation. We live in a fallen, broken world. Our sin has brought us to this place. He doesn't promise us that we won't face hard times. But there is something He does promise. He does promise to be with us in the midst of whatever we're facing. And knowing that God is with us is the best cure, the best answer for our fear and our doubts. When we understand that God is with us, it enables us to look beyond our current circumstances and trust in the hope that lies ahead. Yeah, it may be difficult right now, but there is hope. Things may seem tough. We may not see light at the end of the tunnel right now. Wait, is there any light there? It just looks like darkness and darkness to me. But here's the thing. God knows things that we don't know. And God sees things that we can't see. He knows the future. He knows what lies ahead. And in that, there is always hope. A few weeks ago, there was a very important game for my Oregon Ducks. We won't talk about last night. But a couple weeks ago, they were playing the Washington Huskies, okay? And when it comes to the Pac-12, there isn't any other team that I want to beat more than the Huskies. I would rather lose to the Beavers, okay, and beat the Huskies any day, all right? There isn't a team I'd rather beat more. And if you happen to watch the game, you know that it went into overtime. It was one of those games where my heart, I just was like being ripped apart. I'm like, oh, why am I going through this? Why am I putting myself through this? And so it goes into overtime. The Huskies had the ball first, and they had to settle for a field goal, which meant if the Ducks score a touchdown, game over. We win, right? And so they quickly got to the 6-yard line, first and goal at the 6. Oh, easy. We can easily get 6 yards in the next 3 plays, right? We'll win, and if not, we got to settle for a field goal. And the last thing then go into overtime again. It's second overtime. And the last thing I want to do is give the Huskies another chance to score. This happened with Stanford, and we lost, and I couldn't sleep that night, okay? So I didn't want to go through that again. And so twice the Ducks tried to pass, the Huskies defended the touchdown. I'm like, come on. I'm like, my stomach is in knots, and the knots are growing, you know? I'm like, what is going on here? If we don't score this next play, we're going to have to settle for a field goal. Huskies get the ball again. I was just like, come on. And my dad was there with me. We were watching the game together, and I remember turning to him and saying, I hate this. I hate this feeling. I'm like, I just love it when we beat the team bad, and I don't have to go through this like gut-wrenching stuff. And there was just this fear of losing that was making my stomach tight and tense. And then something happened. And I forgot to share this. I was going to share this with this person, but I forgot. I got a text from Luann that said, yes! Here's the thing. I watched the game through Apple TV, which is generally about 30 seconds to a minute behind live TV. But the interesting thing, I'm sitting there and I'm telling my dad, I hate this, and I'm just like, ugh, and I get this text, and all of a sudden the knot went away. And I turned to my dad and I said, hey dad, how much you want to bet the Ducks score on this play? Sure enough, handoff right up the middle, touchdown, game over, Ducks win. You see, Luann knew something that I didn't know yet. And her text gave me hope that was of something yet to come on my TV, all right? Victory. You see, God knows things that we don't know, right? We're a little delayed in our life. God is ahead of us, okay? We need to know that. He is ahead. He knows how it's going to end. He knows what's going to happen next. He knows things that we may not know ourselves. We may not see light at the end of the tunnel, but God wants us to see beyond our circumstances and trust in His hand upon our lives. Why? So that we can become who He's called us to be, not fearful doubters, but mighty warriors of victory. We may be nervous, but we can go out there because we know that we have victory in Him. So God changes us from fearful doubters to mighty warriors of victory by one, helping us see beyond ourselves, by two, helping us see beyond our circumstances, and thirdly, by graciously confirming His Word to us. We talked earlier about Gideon's need for a sign. And one sign didn't seem, either did two or three, you know, didn't seem to be enough. As I mentioned, he ended up receiving five different signs. Now, it's really easy for us to look at Gideon and be critical that he needed this confirmation. But the interesting thing to me as I read this account of Gideon is that I didn't find any indication that the Lord was frustrated or upset with him. Instead, God was very gracious. And he continued to provide the signs that Gideon needed to go on, to continue to move forward, to be that mighty warrior. Now, I don't think we need to ask God to do the fleece miracle, okay? You know, I don't know if that's going to work. If you put that fleece out at night, I don't know that we need to ask God to do that fleece miracle that he did for Gideon. And I think the main reason is because of something I talked about earlier, that we have something Gideon didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And the Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us and to direct us in our walk with the Lord. Now, can God give us signs in the way that he did for Gideon? Yes. He's God. He can do anything. He can do whatever he wants. But more often than not, I believe God graciously confirms his desires for our lives through the Holy Spirit and through his Word. That's why he's given us. That's why we're walking through the Bible, a true story, because it's in his Word that God confirms his truth in our lives. In the Bible, God graciously reveals his will to us. His Word, it's full of promises. It's full of truth about who He is and who He has called us to be. And I think the key is opening it up. The key is opening up His Word, opening up the Bible, reading through the text, reading through the Scriptures, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us through it. His Word will encourage us, and it reminds us who we are. It reminds us who God is. And as we step out and as we push beyond the doubts and fears, we'll see God continue to graciously confirm His Word in our lives. So as we close this morning, the truth is we may see ourselves as fearful doubters, who may feel like Gideon. I'm the weakest clan. I'm the weakest in my clan. We may feel ineffective for many different reasons. Maybe it's our past failures. Or perhaps we don't think that we measure up to those around us. But remember that God sees the end from the beginning. And He knows who we really are in Him. We're not the fearful doubter. We're the mighty warrior. We're not the adulterer or murderer that David was. We are a man after God's own heart, or a woman after God's own heart. He knows what we're capable of with His help. And He knows what we're capable of when we allow Him to work through our lives. And He wants to remind us that we are all of us in here, are mighty warriors of victory. We just need to learn to look beyond ourselves, look beyond our circumstances, and allow God to confirm His truths through His Word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning and just this opportunity to gather, to lift up Your name. in worship, in the Word, in relationship with one another, Lord. Our desire is to grow in You. Our desire is to be who You've called us to be. And Lord, that is mighty warriors of You. Mighty warriors of victory. And at times we may not feel like those mighty warriors, but Lord, I pray that You remind us that through You we can do all things. That You remind us that the circumstances now may seem difficult or challenging, but Lord, You have a hope and a future that lies beyond those circumstances. And that, Lord, as we continue to seek You, that You will graciously continue to show us and confirm through Your Word of who You've called us to be, Lord. And so we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this time and how You want to speak to each of us. You want to challenge us, Lord, to push beyond the fears and the doubts. Lord, the reality is we can't go through life without having some fear and doubt. There are things that are going to arise. There are things that are going to come against us. But we can have the courage to press through those things, to know, Lord, that You are with us and that with You we can do all things, Lord. And You can take us from fearful doubters to mighty warriors of victory. And that's my prayer for each of us this morning. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives. May You continue to challenge us and encourage us. Lord, may we dive into Your Word so that we can continue to allow You to graciously confirm through the power of Your Holy Spirit, through the power of Your Word, who You've called us to be. We give You these things. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.